Let's take the scriptures now. We'll turn in them to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're reading verses 1 through 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And that's the whole chapter. Beloved, hear now the word of the living and true God. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man, so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. Will not all of these take up a taunt song against him? Even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, for how long, and makes himself rich with loans? Will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them, because you have looted many nations. All the remainder of the peoples will loot you because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town, and all its inhabitants. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples, so you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafter will answer it from the framework. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with violence. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that peoples toil with fire and nations grow weary with for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory, for the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the devastation of its beast by which you terrified them because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town and all its inhabitants. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise. And that is your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And those are God's words. And so the chapter begins with the prophet speaking in verse 1, waiting for a response from the Lord, and the Lord answers in verses 2 and following. So that after the Lord brings about his purposes by the Chaldeans, trying the faith and patience of his people, and distinguished the hypocrites and those who are sincere among them. Then after verse 2 and following, then he will bring judgment on the Chaldeans. Then he will bring down Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And that response, through verse 8, we see in verse 4, that the famous verse we covered just a short time ago in Romans, but the righteous will live by his faith, or the just will live by faith. And that is there in this passage to distinguish between the wicked and the Chaldean, those two groups together, and those who are righteous in God's sight. Now, the rest of the passage shows that it will only be the Chaldeans who perish, though. It's not just them, but all sinners like them. All those not justified by faith. That is, those who have not received the righteousness of Christ by faith. Those, verse 9 and verse 11, those who are covetous, those who are oppressive, verses 12 through 14, those who promote drunkenness, verses 15 through 17, and those who worship idols, verses 18 and 19. And beloved, we ought to turn now to Christ by faith, so that we would be righteous in God's sight, not living lives of sin, but living lives holy and pleasing to the Lord, because we ought to remember verse 20, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Let's pray. Father, we know that it is very difficult for us to remain silent, to sit before Your throne, before Your temple, Mount Zion. And Father, we're thankful though that as You are the great judge, that You are also the God who is full of mercy and loving kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love You and keep Your commandments. And these things, Father, we praise You. And yet, Father, we're also reminded of our sin, that we have broken Your commandments. We've broken the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment as well, love your neighbor as yourself. We have broken these commandments and all your commandments. We have been found guilty of all of them, even for sinning against just one. And so, Father, it is just and righteous of You to condemn us and to judge us for all eternity under Your wrath. And yet we praise You that You have given us hope in Christ alone, in the gospel alone. That Christ died for our sins on the cross, having lived a perfect righteous life, and rose from the dead on the third day. We're thankful that Christ saves the elect. We pray that all here would be of Your elect, that we would all believe and turn from our sins as these Israelites, these people who are Your people, ought to have done, these covenant people. And we, as Your covenant people, we pray that You would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our sins just as You would make us white as snow. Father, we pray that we would not be unclean or an unclean people, but rather clean in Your sight, that You would be continually cleansing us of our sin and clothing us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray today that You would help us with our health. We know that there are many who have been sick. We pray for the Mains who have been struggling with colds, and pray for myself, my eye, that You would heal that. And Father, we praise You that You and these are showing healing. You're bringing that about. I pray that You would protect our bodies from more illness in the days and weeks to come. That we would be serving You with the best of what You've given us in our bodies. Thankful that You've begun healing Chuck and his back. And pray that You would continue that to full healing. And above all, Father, we pray that You would bring us to a time in Your perfect timing, that You will heal us of all our diseases and all our sin, And we know that that will come about at the right time. And so we trust you with that. Father, we pray for the church, and especially the persecuted church, that you would give her strength to stand upon your word and the gospel, and to not stray from it at the threats of those of the world coming against them. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us for a time if we are to be persecuted and suffer, that you would strengthen us in the same way. Pray that you would grow your church, grow this congregation itself, and that you would be glorified in all these things. We're thankful that not even the gates of Hades can overcome the church and the gospel preaching. And so, Father, we pray that it would go forth faithfully and boldly from pulpits today and for many years until your son's coming. Father, I do pray for Burke Parsons, that you would strengthen him and give that congregation in Orlando strength and faith, not in a man, but in your son and the gospel. And pray that you would enable them to worship you the same as they did just a couple weeks ago, and that you would grow them in love for you and for your worship. Same that we would pray for ourselves, that we would never trust in any man, but in the gospel itself and the Son of God about which the gospel concerns. I pray that our focus in worship would be upon your glory and not how we feel so much, or if we're being fed to the utmost. But Father, that we would be concerned with the faithful preaching of your word, no matter the servant that you provide. So Father, we pray that you would help us now as we continue in worship. None of us here are perfect, and so we need your Spirit to strengthen us. We need your Spirit, and we need you to show us mercy. For we are frail and weak and often tempted to think of other things and be distracted. Father, we pray that that would not be so, that we would not fall even into idolatry like those we just read about in Habakkuk, but that we would worship you, the living and true God, just as you are, the God who is Spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and all that you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.